You're listening to the Enneagram and Marriage Podcast.
I'm your host, Krista Harden, and I'm so glad you showed up for our relationship chat today, as well as for you and your people. We're all about living intentionally here so you can experience joy and balance in your relationships once again or for the very first time. Be sure you hang with us on our social media platforms, and if you like research like I do, make sure you check out our website at enneagramandmarriage.com for our weekly newsletter, freebies, and so much more, as well as at Instagram and Facebook. We have so many goodies to share with you. Let's dive right in together. Hello, guys. Thank you so much for joining for the second installment of the Igniting the Sexual Instinct in Marriage series. Today, we're talking about love and attraction in your marriage and rebuilding that, understanding that. Thank you so much for pressing play and investing in this for yourself. You are not going to be sorry you did. You'll never be sorry for working on your relationship. It is worthy. And so are you. And we will talk about why that is a positive indicator of attraction too. Now, before we get into that, I just want to say, make sure you check out last week's episode where we talked about bringing your value system in so you can have the virtues of goodness. And we liken that to the Enneagram 1 and just really reminded you to accept your mate as is, but always try to improve yourselves too. It's a both and. And we also had our Deeper Dive podcast talking all about your hormones and really nice deep dive so that you could understand the different parts of your cycle and when you'll find attraction and arousal the most. And don't forget those hot spots of the ovulatory time and right before your cycle. And of course, right when you're in that space of the first week of your cycle and just a little bit after that for extra kick in that whole attraction cycle. So you can listen to that episode for more. We'll talk a little bit about that today too. But there's also the collective right now where if you sign up for our $29 a month collective, you get all the extra podcasts. You also get a chance to Zoom in with me for live coaching every month. You get our insiders course. You get a free book. So make sure you check that out. It is only open for this week. I'm so glad to be offering that to you guys. I love extra community. And I also love that authenticity that we're building there, here, and everywhere. Check out our Instagram series as well. And everything's in the show notes. But in terms of today, as you know, we're talking about how we attract one another and when we find each other attractive, how. So I want to start out by saying that we are not all attracted to the same types of people. And that's a really good thing because beauty is only one indicator of attraction. And we know that beauty changes over the years. But often we find a proximity in those closest to us most attractive. We think we'll find it on just looking at the most symmetrical features, etc. When we study, what we actually see is those people who have things in common with us, those people who are in proximity to us, and sometimes those people who have this opposite dialectic than us are the ones that attract us. So for instance, some studies show that the testosterone high people pair with high estrogen people. And sometimes we see people who are similar, high serotonin, calmness, other people, they want other people with that. And then sometimes we have an adventure dopamine person who wants another adventurer who's creative. And sometimes it's that mix and match, right? And I would add to the fun of that all by saying that sometimes even across seasons, we might wonder about these shifts in our hormones, right? Like through the month, or especially through the seasons when we might notice that at the end, while a woman is, you know, past 30, she's not having nearly as much of her hormones anymore. Her estrogen is almost out. Her eggs are almost out, especially by 40, 50, 60. And now there's this almost like this, I love the analogy of the little tube of toothpaste where there's just a squirt out of estrogen, progesterone, and now she's different. And maybe her reason for connecting with her mate and the attraction they feel together, it shifts and it changes. So you can't always say that it's the same reason for connecting and attracting each other. But I do have some pieces of information today that in and outside of the bedroom, you could really count on because hormones shift and seasons of life shift, right? Bodies age, and you can do a lot to help that. But in attraction, you can do things outside of those biological factors as well. So make sure, like I said, you check out that extra hormone episode so you can really get on track with yourself and your mate and really just have that knowledge and baseline of like, this is who we are and this is where we're at in our cycles. And then also, I want to remind you that with attraction, that it's another great baseline to look at how the two of you connect on a spiritual level. Because when you have these values in place and when you have this spiritual connection and intimacy, as we talked with Scott Kadersha about, there's a different level that we don't usually think about. We're talking biology today. We're talking emotion today. We're talking this whole biopsychosocial spiritual realm. And when you really connect on that soul level, it's meaningful. So don't forget that in the hormones, even as I get into some more of the biology of attraction and connection and desire today. So I want to let you know that in order to be sexually attracted to your mate, in addition to these things that we said everyone will find different, there are some things that everybody needs. And one of those things is you need to be in a healthy sort of window of tolerance for a sexual relationship. You need to have your nervous system in a state where it can handle even having these attractiveness experiences together. And sometimes when we're on an SSRI / antidepressant, that can feel different. Also, oral contraceptives can change the way we feel about one another sexually. So keep in mind, a lot of people take those and don't experience as much of a difference, especially in SSRI. But in terms of studies, when we look at how oral contraceptives make people feel in and around the ovulatory time, we don't see that they're not attracted, but we don't also see the typical spike that I talked about on the hormonal episode, where in your times of ovulation and around that, that there would be more interest in an attractive partner and that we would find our partners more attractive. So it's interesting to just note to yourselves, oh, okay, if I'm taking an oral contraceptive for birth control, or if I'm on an SSRI and I've lost desire, that's something to talk to with my primary care physician or my OBGYN, et cetera. Your physician's team is here for you for these exact reasons. And I do want you to take care of yourself. So even though it's the sexual instinct, interestingly enough, we need some of that self-preserving instinct for that baseline for you. So don't forget these health checkups and screenings to make sure that you are able to even feel that attraction. And you might say, you know, gosh, I've really appreciated this for how calm it makes me. I got my serotonin and now I'm calm, but I've also really lost some of that desire. And they might be able to tweak that with you. And they may be able to help you with natural supplements for that as well. So that is a bit of the psychological and the biological together. But I also, as I was saying, is we really do have during that pre-ovulation time, more attractiveness vibes together. So you might wonder just when are we most attracted to each other? And for men and women, it's usually in that space after the female has just finished her cycle. And the next few days after that, the next week or so is usually a very heightened state of arousal as compared to the rest of the month. And we even have experiences that show us that when the clothing of the woman is actually sniffed, that men are more attracted in these times. And it's neat to see that because it's also that women are more attracted to men at this time too. So that makes a lot of sense for mate selection and for propagating the species, but it's not the only time. And people who have higher levels of testosterone might find that they have higher sex drives through the month too. And that can be men or women, although men have more testosterone than women. So in general, when you're feeling these experiences with hormones, when you're feeling these times of the month, and when you're not feeling otherwise inhibited by some of the things I talked about earlier, or you're not too tired, etc., you can be aroused. But it's interesting to note that if you're hyper aroused, sometimes that can block also. Like you're so aroused and attracted that you really realize, like, oh my gosh, like I want to be sexual, but it's not working. You might be dealing with ED in that moment. You might have a premature ejaculation. You might just feel like we're all alone in this. No one else experiences this. And I just want to let you know that's totally normal. And if it's extreme, of course, please talk to your doctor about this. They're so used to this. Oh my gosh, Wes deals with this every single day with his patients. And this is just super common with men over 40 anyway. So don't feel at all bad if that's you or your spouse, and just let it be one more thing you have to do. Annoying, maybe, like the dentist, but important. And you guys deserve to have fun. And so don't let that stop you. And do know that they hear this every single day. So I did want you to know that these are some of the baseline experiences of attraction. I also want you to know that empathy and really allowing yourself to sit with your spouse's stories is also part of attraction. And I'm going to tell you that our brain chemicals change and we try to co-regulate with each other when we care about another person. And we're allowing ourselves to give those hugs that are full of oxytocin. And we allow ourselves to regulate one another's breathing and touch and just all the images you can picture from attachment studies in the 1980s to now to say, oh my gosh, we've learned so much about pair bonding, even from mother, child, and the way they regulate each other. This also carries over to romantic relationships, where when you take time to have soothing tones in your voice, when you take time for touch, this is all very attraction building inside of marriage. And sometimes we feel like once we connect with our partner, we're scared, like there won't be opportunities for attraction anymore. But these are beautiful ways to attract one another still, to calm one another or excite one another through various forms of touch.
This episode is brought to you in part by Beyond Ordinary Women Ministries, which prepares Christian women for leadership. At BOW, we believe that every woman is a leader because she influences someone. So, whom do you influence? Do you mentor a woman? Serve in the workplace? Or do you lead a small group, teach the Bible, or even lead an entire ministry? No matter who or how many you influence, our free online resources will help equip you. Our videos, podcast episodes, and articles from experienced women leaders will encourage you and perfect your leadership skills. They offer wisdom for dealing with ministry pitfalls, current biblical issues, health for your own soul, and insights for shepherding others well. In addition, BOW offers Bible studies designed to connect women of multiple generations. They provide a challenge to both women new to the Bible and those wanting to dig deeper. Be our guest and browse all of our free resources and low-cost Bible studies at beyondordinarywomen.org.
Now, another way to stay connected is through story in a different way. It's through allowing yourself to not just match in terms of regulating each other, but to have a bit of what we call, of course, your internal narrative that I talk a lot about here. But even in the attraction research, also, it's called sort of a negative term, but positive delusion about the relationship. That is a very good predictor of long-term attachment. And positive delusion here really just means that you are in that mindset of like, this is my partner. This is the person who is going to help me through the long haul, and I help them. They're my ride or die. That is very good for your relationship versus coming at it from an animalistic view. This is, you know, I could be with anybody. And also, when we have low self-esteem, it can be like, oh, I need other people to prove to me that I'm worthy. So it's very good when you have high self-esteem and you know your worth, and when you're allowing yourself to tell the story that your mate is the one for you. That is both really good predictors of whether you guys will make it the long term. In addition to all the things we talk about with John Gottman, of course, of not, you know, criticizing and complaining all the time and being 5-to-1 positives to negatives. But it's this long-term belief, only this person can make me feel this way. And that just builds so much healthy attachment together. And there's some truth to that. There's some truth to saying that when we have proximity and closeness and when we have the deep stories, we have research that shows us that people who really tell each other deep stories and listen empathically grow closer, because we're caring for one another, and that takes a connection. And we've seen that even when we hear stories in labs about other people we've never met that we develop an affinity or a care, even when we're not in the same room, but when we hear the same stories. So that's also good for attraction. And you might even be surprised to hear me say, yeah. So sometimes even just watching a movie with your partner and both walking through the same emotional wreckage of like Titanic or something can help you to feel more attracted to each other. But that's just so important that you allow yourself that space to say, I'm going to pay attention to the ways we touch. I'm going to pay attention to the cycle. I'm going to pay attention to hypoarousal, where I'm not aroused, or hyperarousal at various times of month or with medications, etc. I'm going to tell positive narratives and perhaps a little bit of that delusion of, I really know my spouse is the perfect only one for me. And that, like I said, is skeptical. It is a beautiful truth also. And I do believe many people really are soulmates out there, but it works either way, however you label it. And then also keeping attentive to compliment them about the things you like. So the narratives in your mind don't have to just be the things that you see big picture about, like, oh, this person listens to me, or we can hear the same stories or tell each other our tales, but also just positive compliments and focusing in on what you actually like about your partner over the years. What are some features that you love about them? Because the good news is attraction is not just about, like I said, these outer, you know, youth oriented styles of fertility and beauty, but also about personality and what you really chose them for and what you see others like them for, especially on those days when you're like, wait, why do I like my spouse? It's so good to be like, okay, why did I like them in the past? Why do my friends or their friends like them? And really allowing yourself to sit with some of the good things. But I'm going to give you a couple more practical hacks too. And as I said, we'll go deeper diving emotionally on the Deeper Dive podcast, of course. But I also here want to say, to build attraction in and outside of the bedroom, you want to build a romantic foreplay as well. So most of the time, the actual sex is sort of the aftermath or the last piece. It's almost the climax itself, sometimes, of a rather long time of foreplay. And couples who are happiest with their sex lives have sex usually about one or more times per week. It doesn't have to be every day, and it doesn't get any happier usually more than once a week, although many couples do enjoy more than once a week. This is just an average. But all that to be shared, that if you have this once a week special time where you really allow yourself to linger over date nights and really fun music that is just so sexy, or maybe jazzy, Nora Jones-ish, or Sade, or just something that allows you to sit a little bit longer and to, of course, I'm saying linger because I love the old cranberries, but allow yourself the dinner at the romantic restaurant, taking a nice stroll, slowly slowing your heart rates down and allowing yourself to get into that parasympathetic state. That's going to be important for you too as well, because if you're running, it might be fun, it might be adventurous, but it's not as much about the sexual instinct in the bedroom. That might be more about, again, the foreplay of like, oh my gosh, we had this super fun climb together today on a mountain, or we did a jog together, or we solved some sort of a mystery together, a puzzle in life, and we're finishing up our kitchen project, whatever it is. These happy vibes are great. But when you want to linger and get towards the bedroom, you want to make sure that you allow yourself some slowing down. Maybe you light that fireplace. So that's a great way to start up your attraction again together as well. And lighting can be part of that as well. Some of you are very affected physically by lighting and by smells. And something that I really think is important is, if you're not in that ovulation window and you are just like, you know what, I'm having this burst of this testosterone and I want to get intimate just before the next cycle starting, but we know we don't have those feelings about each other as much. This is, I think, when maybe you don't have the natural pheromones, but when you have sampled with your favorite aftershave for him or your favorite perfume for her, and you allow yourselves to really sink into some of these special fragrances to just ante up the game a little bit in that way. Or you might even pull out the Intimately Us app and play a fun game where you're just like, let's, you know, I'm tired, but let's have fun. And let's maybe even sometimes pause a few days or a couple weeks between our intimacy so that we can build up a little sexual tension in the interim. So those are some good basic tips, along with, I'll put it in the show notes again, I have in the past too, the Sensate Focus exercise, where you might remember it's a Cornell University document, but it really just reminds us to play that either or game together that I talked a little bit about last week. Just that sense of, do you like this or that? And sometimes you even leave sex out of the equation altogether and just say, we're not having intimacy tonight. Let's just, for this one moment, take some time when we're not too tired and really allow ourselves to remember what we're attracted by. And maybe we turn the lights out if we're feeling shy. We just allow ourselves to experience what we like and tell each other, this kind of touch feels really good, or this kind of touch feels really bad. And so that we can just really be honest and playful together. And then another time, use those experiences and opportunities for a really nice intimate time. So don't feel like you have to solve Rome in a day. I know your bodies are changing, different weeks feel different things. So give each other a lot of grace. I feel like it's important. I did read this in The Four Loves by C.S. Lewis, and he really said it well when he said, you know, you have to be able to laugh at your sex life because there's a lot of crazy things that happen, and just over seasons, you have to be able to just know that and not take yourself so seriously that you're like, okay, I understand the cycle and we are getting our temperatures right so that we have the fertility markers and all the things that can really ruin that dance. When we instead open our hands and allow ourselves to release stress and worries to God, when we take these nice deep breaths and allow our parasympathetic nervous system to just take over and come back to that rest and digest place of just peace. And then, of course, we're going to come into that sympathetic nervous system when we come into that space of arousal fully and orgasming and all that. But to just allow yourself that space of knowing, I'm allowed to enjoy. I'm allowed to take it easy. We're allowed to tell each other what attracts us physically, emotionally. We're allowed to be empathic. And these are good shoulds in our marriage. These are what is going to keep the long-term attraction. And I just wanted to say that because sometimes people think that sexual intimacy is not really about anything except for that act. And instead, it's really, there's a lot of foreplay of just loving each other empathically and compassionately first. There's a lot of environment setting that you can do. There's a lot of pieces that are involved. It's not just about beauty. It's about love and these acts of love that you can serve one another with by complimenting, by choosing to focus on good things, and by caring for each other's hearts even afterwards. And that's something we can all improve on, is to just say, you know, here I am, and we're allowing ourselves to find safety together and to find this true, deeper love and commitment together. And that is such a beautiful gift to each other. But if your spouse or partner feels unsafe, like they just like me for my looks, or they just like me for this baby they want to have, or they just like me for money and they're not caring for my heart, guys, people can tell. So as I say that, make sure you also keep in mind the very last bit. And that is, when we do struggle with infidelity in marriage, oftentimes it's because somebody, especially if it's a male, that they have low self-esteem. So know that you might be thinking my partner isn't good enough, but really you could be thinking and choosing to think, you know what? I got a great partner because I pick well, and I am so worthy, not because this other person likes me, but just because I'm worthy. And I'm beloved just the way I am by God, by my partner, by my family. And I don't need this outside person, this interloper in our marriage to be everything to me. In fact, that's an indication of unsafety and me not having good self-esteem. And that is a statistic, by the way, that we want to pay attention to, is when we are most attractive, we have healthier self-esteem. So make sure you do your work. And that will help you to find other partners less attractive and focus in on, hey, we've already got a good thing over here. I don't need to prove myself to anyone else. And if you are having trouble with self-esteem, no shame to you. I don't want to heap coals on you further than you're already doing to yourself. I want you to get the help you need. We have coaches. We have our collective every single month. And if you're just struggling in general and you want to help build up that foundation of goodness, we talk about our marriage mission a lot in our collective and ways that we are learning to shine together. We have some handouts on that. I have a mini course, and we always always do these extra podcasts that you'll hear on Apple Podcasts if you subscribe there or inside the collective also, just so you could get extra coaching over there. We do breath work, we do gratitudes each week, and it's just one of my favorite parts of the week. So I hope you'll join us over there. And before we leave here today, I'll just remind you of that two space one more time, of just really intentionally loving with compassion, with empathy, with touch, with trying to heal one another's hardships, and with that positive thinking that we really know our twos can do very well, to just continue to think on the good things and to try to bring them up in the relationship, to try to serve each other. That is going to be so attractive long term. And also just allowing yourself the time and space to relax together, to find your favorite features, to play up scents and different times of the month well, to visit medical professionals as needed, and find your favorite colors, your favorite locations, your favorite foreplay methods. You guys are on your way. And next week, we're going to talk a little bit more in the three space about performance. So I will talk to you then, but make sure in the meantime, sign up for the collective, or make sure to sign up for those extra deep dive pods. I'll talk to you soon. Bye-bye.
Thank you again for listening with us. It was so wonderful to have you. I love knowing we're doing this journey together, not perfectly, but with love, grace, and hopefully some fun too. If you love today's episode, make sure you leave us a 5-star review at Apple Podcasts or Spotify so others can find it too. Visit our show notes so you can get all the links from today's show, as well as enneagramandmarriage.com, the Instagram, the Facebook, and all over the place. Make sure you spread the word. Love living intentionally with you. Bye-bye.